Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4. Keenan McCardle in this hour. He can show up at any time and we'll accept him, but we have not yet seen him on the premises, and we know what happened last week, but I do know he's in town and he has called, so he should be here. And whenever he's here, Nick, you can give him the go-ahead that he can come on in, because I'm sure he'll love the fact that we have a cat story for Barry.
Which oh, yeah. I'm super
I just tweeted it
about
to
this.
You. But,
real quick, go ahead. I'm just going to go ahead and say that so I ordered the burger. It was put at the Yale location, even though I zoomed in on the map and clicked the one across the street here. Is it Westheimer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I clicked on it, so I don't know what happened. That's fine. So here's what I'll do. It's under my name. If you're first person that's close enough to the Smash Burger on Yale, enjoy the meal. It's on me. I don't care. First person. And go in, say you're Barry. You ordered it. And it's under, it says like business ESPN Radio. Just go in and say you're Barry with ESPN Radio. You ordered your burger. And happy Thanksgiving. You can have it on me. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
I still want you to do the tweet. Want you to do the tweet to Smash Burger.
They're not
going to say what
anything.
Happened. I want to see what happens.
Nah, they're not going to tweet anything back.
If they got good customer service, something should happen.
Nah.
We'll see. All right, so I got a cat story for you.
Shout out to Yuli for going to get
Yeah, Yuli, our intern, great. And then
sweet.
She wasn't going to charge you, which is ridiculous.
She wasn't going to take my cash. Super sweet. I really appreciate it.
We'll forgive some of the spelling mistakes now. So before we get to the cat story, which Barry has to have for another feel-good before Thanksgiving.
Yes,
let's get to some of you guys that are waiting to still want to talk some football. Jeremy, you're first. You want to talk about the rankings. You're in Humble. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Barry, I heard you poo-pooing on Navy's accomplishments. I wanted to get your thought on, is the AAC getting enough credit? Houston dominated the two best teams in the Big 12 and the ACC, and Navy scored more points against them than either of those teams did combined. Are they getting enough love in the rankings, and should Navy jump Western Michigan, who really has probably one of the worst schedules in the entire country?
I don't know, man. Navy's lost to another academy in the Air Force. And USF. And I think that I look at that more than the wins that they have, because it is a big win over U of H. Don't get me wrong. And they dominated that game. I mean, if you just look at the score, it was never as close as 46-40. I mean, that U of H came on at the end, but that game was never close. But I always look at, you look at wins, but I look at losses, especially when it comes to teams like this. I think that Navy being in the top 25, I say it tongue in cheek, but they really haven't beat anyone other than U of H, and those losses are bad. But I'm okay with it, though. And that's the thing. When you get down that low, you can make a case for a lot of those teams that are on the outside looking in. And what was the other part of your question? Do I think the AAC is getting the credit they deserve?
Yeah, I think they're definitely better than the Big 12. The Big 12 is pretty terrible this year.
I mean, I don't know that I would go that far and say
Oklahoma State, right there.
Yeah, I'm not going to go and say that the Big 12, that the AAC is better than the Big 12. I think U of H is propping that conference up right now.
I would agree.
And, I don't know. I mean,
it's just hard to compare them to the Big 12 when you've got two teams like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and one of them, quite honestly, could get into the Final Four. And no one from the AAC is getting into the Final Four, right?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, U of H blew that. But, I mean, I'm trying to figure out who else besides Navy and U of H is in the top 25 from that conference.
I mean,
Well, that's my point. I mean, you've got a 20 and a 25, and you've got OU and Oak State.
Yeah,
that are propping up the Big 12 right now, and I mean, honest to God, if you took Baylor or TCU as bad as it's gone for them this year, if they played anybody not named U of H and the AAC, who are you picking?
Right, that's a good point.
So don't get me wrong, I'm not discounting what U of H and Navy have done and the fact that they shouldn't or should be ranked at 20 and 25. I'm fine with where they are. Other than those two guys, I don't know why you would give the AAC much more credit than that.
No, I'm with you on that.
Because the losses are so bad. That's the problem with playing in a conference like that, is you have some in-conference losses, and, man, it just looks so much worse.
It looks so bad. It looks terrible.
It does. It really does.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, that's what makes it to where, you know, we're talking about all these Power Fives that are slipping up once, and they're being forgiven. In the AAC, you can't slip up at all, and if you don't run the table, those losses look so bad, it leaves an indelible mark that you can't make up for it. I mean, U of H scrapped and clawed and had to beat another big-time, highly-ranked team just to sniff the top 25, but they ain't sniffing the top 10.
No.
They're not getting back in.
Nope.
All right, one more football call on the horizon. This one goes to the NFL level. Mike, you are on the show. Happy Thanksgiving. What's up?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
I was wanting to know how y'all thought that Tony Romo might would fit on the Houston Texans next year.
See, the problem with me, Mike, is the fact that you still have to play Brock Osweiler no matter what. But I was the one, before anybody else, I think, in this market that broached the subject of would you take him on your team next year if the Cowboys were willing to part ways with him and there's a way to work it out. I really believe he's a really good fit because of all the talent around the quarterback position that the Texans have. But because of the financial situation, I don't see it playing out. But, you know, Barry, you and I differ on this, I think, to some degree. But I think he's a great fit.
Well, that's the problem, Mike. It's never going to happen because of his contract, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you've still got Osweiler that you owe a year or two at least, at a minimum, and you still got Tony Romo's contract with the Cowboys. I don't think it's going to happen. Is he a fit? I mean, sure, he's a really good quarterback, and he's much better than what you have in Brock Osweiler. So, yeah, I think, but he's also 36. You know, Is he better than Brock Osweiler? Yes. Is he a fit? Sure, because the Texans don't do anything crazy that Tony Romo couldn't be a part of.
He's also a proven commodity in the NFL.
You're not talking about, you know, getting a spread quarterback to come in and run a power eye or getting an option quarterback to come in and run the spread. It's a pro style offense. There are plenty of intricacies, but it's not like Tony Romo couldn't run Bill O'Brien's offense here in Houston. So from a fit perspective, sure. Mm-hmm. I think he is. Contractually, just not going to happen.
Yeah, but just from a player ability standpoint and how his ability fits the roster that you have, I think he's a great fit. I just think financially it can't happen. So, I mean, in another year, now you're talking about an older Romo.
Or even wants to come to Houston.
Yeah, remember, though, as his contract goes, it gets more expensive.
Yeah.
So but next year he's due 14.
If Jerry's still sitting on it, there may be a release in there somewhere where he doesn't have the guaranteed money. And then, you know, because next year's the year that they have to eat it all if they...
No, it's this year.
I thought next year, too, if they release him, it's a big cap hit.
The best year to release him would be 2018 because it goes from this year the dead money is like $40 million. And then the dead money next year is like $20 million.
Yeah.
And then it goes down to like $9 million.
I misunderstood you when you said it the first time. But, I mean, the financial implications for the team that's willing to take him is going to be far greater than what the Texans can endure. Denver's a team, because they don't have a franchise quarterback, Denver would be a phenomenal fit for him simply because they have the defense. They're not overpaying on the offensive side of the football. And with him and a decent offensive line and a top-quality defense, hey, that's a good fit. We'll see what happens. Keenan's on his way. He should be here shortly. Hopefully, I'll check with him during the break. But also, Lamont wants you to ponder this.
Uh-oh.
Of the three Bill O'Brien quarterbacks that have been in Houston, who did you like the most?
Oh.
Fitzpatrick, Hoyer, or your current quarterback, Brock Osweiler?
Good question.
Mull on that one. Lamont throws it out there, and we bring it to the masses. Let's see what you have to say. What say you? We are going to be back with much more, including Keenan McCardell eventually, ESPN 97.5.
November is Movember. We're raising funds to help men battle their biggest health issues. Visit Movember.com.
Brought to you by the Boardroom Salon and Man Centers.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Ask and you shall receive. Keenan McCardell is here in studio, and he is ready to drop the knowledge. We've had the masses clamoring for Keenan, and he's now here. Keenan, we got plenty to get to with you once you get situated.
I'm ready.
First off, we were talking about the college football. Well, actually, let's go all the way back to the beginning. top three favorite Thanksgiving foods, and then three you could do without.
Sweet potato pie.
You like sweet potato pie.
Cornbread dressing.
Cornbread dressing.
And I'll never go back to a smoked turkey or oven cooked turkey. It's fried turkey.
Uh-huh.
So those are all geographically placed in the South, I would imagine.
What is going on?
Fried turkeys are everywhere.
Up north. What do you like?
What I like? I mean, look.
What's your favorite?
Well, I love mac and cheese because it's cheesy. I love the turkey itself. I love the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Okay.
And the stuffing. My three to do without are...
Is it stuffing or cornbread?
He also said rhubarb pie.
Either
was one.
Was
one of his favorites.
Huh? No, I hate rhubarb pie. He said
he loves the rhubarb.
I hate cranberries.
You hate yams?
Yeah, I hate cranberries and I hate...
So you don't like sweet potato pie?
I don't like beets. No. I'm just not a...
Who eats beets?
Oh,
that's
God.
What I said.
Up north,
who
my
the
grandma,
hell eats beets
my
on
grandma
Thanksgiving?
Always breaks out that can of beets. It's just nasty.
Hey,
beets?
You know what I'm having for the first time this year, Keenan?
What is that, babe?
Shock's wife made me blackaroni and cheese. Have you heard of this?
Blackaroni and cheese, I've heard of it. I never tasted it.
She made it for me.
How is it?
It's I don't know yet. I'm going to have it tomorrow. I'm super excited about
it. I'm waiting on the...
On
the
Twitter,
report.
The report.
On
I'm
Twitter,
waiting on that.
Twitter has confirmed for me the blackaroni and cheese is like off the charts good.
You got to take a picture of it too.
I will.
It's here.
It's in the fridge.
It's in the fridge here.
I'll give you a little cup to take home. A little bit to take home.
Then I'll give you.
Yeah. Hey, also, we had a question and I don't want to get too, but
go ahead.
I felt like, cause I, you know, I've never, we do sports talk radio, but you have to know your lane and I'm not an X's and O's guy. I'm not a player, but we had a question from a caller that asked about the jumbo package. And why teams use the jumbo package so much and you know,
short yardage.
Goal line short yardage. And why not spread it out? And my response, and you can validate it, tell me where I'm right, wrong, or indifferent. My response is I think that it's a matchup thing. And you've got to account for the linebackers and the safeties that are also going to be in the box. And so you put as many people as you can in there because if you can block the line that's there, then you get to that second level. Well, the second level is the end zone or the first down or whatever, and so that's why it's a matchup thing. Spreading it out now, if you try to run wide, it's a longer distance to go to. I don't know. You tell me why they use the jumbo package.
You know what?
It's a good question.
It's a good question, but you know when it's first and goal on the 1 yard line and you're in spread, the quarterback's 5 to 6 yards deep, the running back's standing next to the quarterback. Now you have a 6 yard run instead of a 1 yard run.
You
got a chance to lose yardage. And one reason why they like the jumbo package is, you know, they like to impose their will on people, show people that you're tough, that you can block, you know, that, you know, and everybody gonna say, well, the name of the game is to get the ball in the end zone. But sometimes you have to be a physical presence on that field and show it. And when I tell you what, the most demoralizing thing to a defense is to get it stuffed down their throat on a fourth and one, first and goal.
Plus the advantage is because you know when the ball's going to be snapped.
Yes.
You got the advantage because you know when you're going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I was at a high school game last week and watched them on fourth and one for the game in like a spread package. And guess what?
Yeah.
Because then it was a 3 yard loss.
Because when you have that spread package, you've got usually it's four wide receivers and a running back.
Yes.
So now you've got no tight ends to account for any blitzers, linebackers, safeties, or otherwise.
It's a box count basically.
Yeah. It's a numbers game, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So let's go on from that and let's head to another topic we had, which is the Final Four in college football. Is four enough?
But we got a surprise caller though.
Oh, we do.
Yo!
Wait.
Is that
So if we say, we'll figure out who this is just by saying, if we say, what's up, what would you say?
What's up, Bird?
Yay! Hey, it's Trap J99 on the hotline.
What is going on, bro?
Man, what's going on, brother? Man, we start talking about food, man. I just left this airport, man. It's been a long day, Jack.
Yeah, and you got your boiler room has got to be definitely empty.
It's absolutely blazing. And if anybody got baby mamas, they know exactly why.
So basically, Travis can give us everything that we need to know about traffic and airport congestion waiting on arriving flights. Because basically, Travis was supposed to pick up his daughter at what time?
9:30
this morning. And you picked her up exactly at what time?
We just left like 20 minutes ago.
And that, my friends, is why holiday travel can be so special.
Now, was it because you were sitting in traffic or the just the airport?
The flight didn't get in.
Well,
at first I wanted to come in so we could have a foursome all in the studio.
Whoa.
Not that kind of foursome.
Easy now.
But, you know, have a
pre-Thanksgiving feast.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
So how long were you sitting in the airport?
Or was I sitting at the bar? I went left because, you know, it gets there so early because she's on the company minor. You got to go and be in the airport by the time the flight lands.
Oh, that's...
You see what I'm saying? I get there, then I get a text. Oh, we're not coming until 1:45. Well, then that still doesn't happen. And then so I leave, come back, and it's still delayed from the time it was supposed to come in.
That is not the way you want to start your Thanksgiving holiday off, my friend.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
But guess what? She's here.
So that's all that matters.
I was just about to say, you're thankful
that
she's...
Yeah, that's the big thing. She's safe. She's arrived. And now you guys can make up for lost time. Exactly. Do you know what blackaroni and cheese was? We didn't cover this the other day.
No, I guess it's black macaroni.
That's right.
I guess it's black.
No. Not the color black macaroni. Go ahead. Barry, tell them what it is.
Yeah, so it's basically macaroni and cheese with pretty much cheese and more cheese. And apparently it can only be made by black people.
We know what macaroni and cheese is. Then, huh?
Hey, you guys were like me. I'm thinking there's a special ingredient. Yeah, you guys are like me. I'm thinking there's a special ingredient. There's something we're missing.
No, it's made by black people. And so Shock's wife made me blackaroni and cheese because someone told me about it, and I've never had it. And I'm
how you gonna say blackaroni and cheese, man? Y'all eat more casseroles than anything. I'm pretty sure at some point somebody made you a day macaroni and cheese with four cheeses in it.
No,
are you yawling me again? Are you yawling me again?
He's from Wisconsin, so he knows about cheese.
Are you yawling me into another, roping me into another one of your generalization comments?
No,
I really thought he was gonna call me a casserole.
Everybody there. Has had a macaroni term. Cheese that had 4 to 5 cheeses in it.
Yeah, see how it went
made
up?
The right way.
Do you see how it just literally went
4
up?
4 to 5,
I'm from Wisconsin. You don't use the powdered cheese. And believe me, I just said that. I said earlier in the show.
I'm not saying, who uses powdered cheese? I'm talking about...
You know, out of the box, the Kraft macaroni and cheese people. A lot of people make
that. They ain't even
close, man. No, I know a lot of people still do it.
Ain't nobody using no Velveeta.
I'm talking about
actually shredded cheese.
Shredded cheese, you got to put them knuckles on there and shred.
Yeah, you gotta
Barry already tells me, strikes me as the guy because he reacted to Velveeta. There's people that think Velveeta is actually real cheese.
Hey, now, listen, I won't eat Velveeta on Thanksgiving. Actually, I will. But there's nothing wrong with Velveeta macaroni and cheese.
I bet you got some Velveeta in that blackaroni and cheese.
I bet you're going to eat some Velveeta.
I don't cook with no Velveeta. I'd rather cook with government cheese than before I cook with Velveeta.
Same thing, right?
And it'll get creamy, too. That government cheese will get real creamy.
Velveeta is the material that made your sweatsuits when you were a kid.
It probably was.
You had the Velveeta sweatsuit.
I don't know what Velveeta is, man. Velveeta. I know a girl named Velveeta.
Oh, well, there you go. So we got that going for us. Okay, so guys, I want to get your guys' opinion on something that we talked about a little earlier, but we're gonna get it after the break, but I want to throw it out there. We had a lot of controversy after the Texans game, and there was a lot of discussion about quality control and the coaching staff, and I want to get your guys' take from when you played in terms of the structure and how it works to throw the red flag, and is there a system in place? The Blitz had Quentin Demps on, and he kind of gave you the middle of the road as you expected, but I just want to get your guys' opinion on that. I think it'll be great for the listeners to hear that and a whole lot more as we continue with a Thanksgiving discussion with Barry and Joel. It is Keenan, and it is on the hotline, Trap J 99, Travis Johnson. We've got more in just a minute, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we got a full house on Thanksgiving, is the way it should be. If you can't make it, personally, then dial in after a long day at the airport. Travis is on the hotline. Keenan and Barry next to me on either side. And we are talking about anything and everything you want to talk about between now until 4 o'clock. And, Trav, I'll start with you and get to Keenan after that. But you, I kind of teased it before the break. But we all know about the whole red flag and when to throw it, when not to throw it, and all the different things the Texans went through. But when you played and with the guys that you know that are playing now, is there not a system in place? We saw earlier in the year on a national TV game that Shane Leckler had to actually go tell O'Brien to throw the flag. Isn't there supposed to be a system and coaches in place for that very reason?
Oh, no question. I mean, you got to have somebody there upstairs that's looking at the camera at all times, or somebody. Cause normally, I'm going to tell you what I think. Normally, guys are upstairs watching the TV copy. You know, they watch because the actual in-game footage, see, a lot of people don't know, in all those press boxes, there's two different cameras. There's the actual stadium feed. And then there's the broadcast feed. So guys are watching, getting a chance to see it twice, and they're supposed to call down and say, hey, throw the flag. But at the same time, I don't know if there's a miscommunication. I don't know if all this Microsoft equipment that we all know Bill Belichick hates, you know what I mean, is affecting some of these things. But there's something like the DeAndre Hopkins thing, it couldn't have been reviewed because the whistle was blown dead. I think when it's a lot of things that still need to be fixed with the actual replay system, and also with the whistles. In my opinion, I think you take whistles out of the game altogether. Because, I mean, Keenan can tell you, in an actual NFL practice, it's rare we ever hear an actual whistle.
You're right, because we kind of know when to stop the play. But my thing is, on the third down play, Trav, he must have not trust the person in the box. Because
no.
I guarantee either that, somebody,
either that or they weren't watching, because that was a yard and a half past the line.
Somebody upstairs should have told him to throw the flag on the third down. And that's the thing. You gotta, when you have a guy upstairs, you gotta have somebody that you can trust,
mm-hmm.
and that's looking at it. And when he tells you that's coach, you should call, should throw your flag. He has to be a person that coach trusts. If he doesn't trust you, and say you missed two or three calls and you know on a challenge, he's not going to trust you. But when you have somebody up there, you got to have the right person that the coach absolutely trusts. Say, coach, throw the flag.
Barry and I talked about this, but I go back to even in the first half, the Braxton Miller first down that wasn't, because he didn't challenge it because he was laying on Khalil Mack. If they get that first down, they're now in Raiders territory and they could pin him way back. Instead, they punted and the Raiders ended up scoring on that.
Right.
Possession, that hurt them as well. So I just kept looking, and I kept looking for a reaction from O'Brien going, someone's in his ear, someone's telling him a challenge, they got to be, and it wasn't there.
There was also a Crabtree dropped a pass that no one ruled as incomplete, and it was there was an offside by Clowney on the next play.
Right.
I took a picture of it and tweeted it out. Nobody said a word. The broadcast didn't even talk about it, but he didn't complete the catch. Like, he was on the ground, and you could the picture I took, the ball is clearly in between his hands, laying on the ground, and then he scoops it back up again, and nothing. And you can't miss those. Like, you just
the media always, and that's the thing I hate. I hate the fact that a lot of times when you're watching these games, it seems like the broadcast booth can inadvertently skew a whole lot of things
right.
just from their mindset. As far as getting people fined, as far as not getting people fined. When you see some hits that are always questionable, it's always take Chris Collinsworth and listen to his mouth and say, oh, I don't know, that looks like a headshot. Or yeah, I don't yeah. know, this is that. And then all of a sudden now, you skewed the whole nation's thought just by those couple comments.
Not so, just the nation, the replay guy also, because he's listening. You know he's listening to the TV copy. He has a television exactly. on in his booth also. So, I mean, like you said, like when Gruden or Collinsworth says something, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be called the way that the announcer has said it.
Really?
Exactly.
Because I was going to say, on the play where Jonathan Joseph got called for targeting, he wasn't even close. And the receiver was in the air.
It was never close.
It was never close.
And he got 15, and there was no looking back. And I thought that was another bad call.
Well, they were assuming that Joseph was going to hit him too. Yeah, they were assuming that they were that it was going to be a targeting shot.
Yeah, I thought that was another bad call. But overall, then with all the things that you guys have just said, it has to go back to O'Brien and his system with his coaches.
It's a trust thing. I mean, it's a trust issue. You put the guy upstairs that you trust the most to say, coach, make that call. I mean, I don't know who it is. Mm-hmm. You put that guy up there and say, hey, coach, it's time to make that call. I mean, because in Washington, we had our quarterback coach up there. Coach Shanahan really trusted him. And you know what? And every time he said, coach, throw the flag, he threw the flag, regardless if it was right or wrong. You know, he was wrong a couple times. He got a little earful, but, you know, he still trusted him even in the next game.
But not just that, I also think you gotta look at situations as far as when you throw it and when not to throw it. At some point, if there are momentum changers, you know, because if you get that first down, that's a momentum changer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So regardless if you lose it or not, You can't go home. You can't get on the flight from Mexico back to Houston with timeouts. You're going to land over challenges.
Right.
So you got to use those right now. If you say, this right here is a turning point in this game, you have to go for it. Regardless if you get it or not, it's just a timeout.
You know what? My thing is this. As a player, we shouldn't have been that close. We should have had a better executed play. We should have executed a lot better.
That takes me to the next thing for both of you guys. He didn't want to talk to the media afterwards. And when grilled upon the challenges, he wanted to go back to the one that he challenged and wasn't allowed to with Hopkins.
Right.
But I don't care what he says to the media. If you're a player in the locker room on his team, can he say anything that makes you guys say, okay, that's cool, we give you a pass? Because you guys are laying it on the line. You know how important that game is. And there were some plays that he could have helped you guys. Not saying that it would have been game changers, but he could have legitimately helped your team win, and he didn't do it.
And you know what? As a player, your job is to execute the play, and like, it's his job to make that decision if he should challenge a play. But you got to look back at yourself. It's fourth and one. We need a half a yard, and we get less than a half a yard by the spot of the officials, and probably you got a yard, but still, you should want more out of a play that you know that you should gain 3 yards on. So, as a player, we got to look at ourselves and say, "Hey, we got to execute better than what we did in crucial situations, and we didn't live up to our expectations."
But Trap, you were very vocal. I mean, and a lot of players have come out on Twitter and said they would have gone to the coach on the sidelines and said, "You've got to challenge that." You got, like Leckler did the one time in the previous game. I mean, are you going to accept whatever he tells you after the game?
No, I mean, I think as a player, I agree with Keenan, but I think as a player, you also owe it to yourself. That's one thing about guys who played and saw the game from in between that face mask. Our brains, our minds, our eyes see things so much faster. And a lot of times, those coaches that are on the sideline haven't lived on the sideline their whole life.
Right.
So you got to look at it as saying, if a player tells you, yeah, sometimes he wants it to be incomplete, or yeah, sometimes he wants it to be something else. If a player tells you, coach, this is what I saw. The ball hit the ground, blah, blah, blah. The camera angle might not catch it, or this is a first down, or this is not a touchdown, or this is a catch, it's not a catch. I think you've got to trust the fact that this man's a pro at his job.
Yeah, but
you got to take that into account. Like, this is not a college football atmosphere. Technically, we are coworkers.
Yeah, but Trent, don't you see that a lot of times, though? You'll see guys, especially, like, I'll give you an example in baseball, where regardless of what the actual call was, you'll see guys asking for their coach, their manager, to challenge it just because they feel like they were safer out, or they got the out, and that can backfire a lot, because you guys as players, you always felt like, hey man, it's just like receivers, I'm always open, but
no,
you're
not.
Yeah, yes and no. I think when you look at the baseball game, the one thing that you always, like, there's no question. The one thing that you see in the baseball game is what happens. If it's a close play at first, what does he do? He picks up the phone, and he's talking to a guy upstairs. And that guy is telling him, hold on, coach, hold on, coach, hold on, coach. And not just that, they're allowed to stop the time in the baseball game. You see the skipper always come out of the thing, and he looks at the ref, he looks at the blue, and says, blue, give me a second. And he's talking to his guy on the phone, and his guy tells him whether or not to challenge the play or not.
But
I think that's the thing that you have to add, the element you have to add to the game.
Well, but here's the problem, though. You got guys like Randy Moss or Dez Bryant who are probably going to be wrong more often than they're right, that they would say that they were in when they weren't.
I mean,
it'd be more defensive guys wrong. I don't know.
Randy Moss.
It'll be more defensive guys that are wrong.
Where guys will complain, yeah. I made the catch. No, you didn't.
You didn't. You lose credibility. So guys ain't gonna say they made the catch when they know they didn't really make the catch. Now, that's a couple that'd be close. Like you know the Dez Bryant catch against Green Bay.
Yeah.
Then that's one that you say that is a catch, and he'll come to the sideline and say, "Coach, I caught that." You know what I'm saying? And the coach will challenge it. But 9 times out of 10, Keenan played receiver for 17 years in this league. He knows which one he caught, which ones he cradled, which one he didn't get.
No doubt. And you can tell by the reaction of most guys when they've made the catch and when they haven't made the catch.
Fair enough. We got a lot of good dialogue going, a lot of good conversation. If you want to get in on it, give it a shot. We got one segment left to go. We've got just a plethora of wisdom in the studio and on the phone. It's Keenan, it's Trap, it's Joel and Barry, along with Nick behind the glass till 4, ESPN 97.5.
November is Movember at Gal Media. We're raising funds to help men battle their biggest health issues. Visit Movember.com and search for Gal Media to donate to your favorite hosts. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, we got a cast of thousands, and it's the way it should be, because it's the day before Thanksgiving, and it's a way to give thanks, and I am thankful for all you guys. So the fact that my wish was granted, and I said to Barry yesterday, it'd be great to have everybody on the last show before Thanksgiving, just to say how thankful I am that since we got this little project off the ground, that all you guys have been phenomenal, and we're building it, it's growing, people are liking it, and it's been a lot of fun, so I appreciate all of you. So we got Travis on the phone. We got Nick behind the glass. We got Keenan and Barry in studio. And we're talking a lot of trash. We're talking a lot about a lot of things. And before we go any further, Barry wanted to cover a couple of the tech side.
I got one text that I really wanted to read. It said, "Hey, Barry, my daughter's been with me at work. She finally let me control the station, and I'm finally hearing the show again. Shout out my daughter, Melanie, and don't let Yuli butcher her name, apparently.
What's up, Melanie?
Yeah, thanks for listening, you guys. Much appreciated, Joe."
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we got that. You know, you guys have covered a lot of stuff. I was curious, Trap, on a couple of things, the stories that just came over the wire that you can speak on. But one, the fact that your coach, Jimbo Fisher, at Florida State, has supposedly already has received an offer from LSU to coach the Tigers. And I know you're an Ed Orgeron guy as well, but your thoughts on that real quick.
Oh, man, I'm sick because I heard the number's like $8.5
million. Yeah!
Wow. Hard to say no to that.
Can I get a cha-ching?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to say no. And tell you the truth, Corey Clark wrote an article in the Tallahassee Democrat yesterday. If he doesn't want to stay, we shouldn't have to beg anybody to stay. Yeah. And I'm over here like Temptations. I know you want to leave me. I want to tell him, please don't go, man. We can't. There's only a couple guys that's qualified for this job.
For the Florida State job?
Yes. You know, if he leaves, you know, we got to look at, there's only a few guys. We got to look at Les Miles. Everybody says, why Les Miles? And all I say is 141-55.
That's true.
He averages 10 wins a game.
But can he coach?
He can recruit this out.
And he wants to run the football.
He wants to run the ball. And we can find us an offensive coordinator, not named Cam Cameron, to go along with him.
That'd be hard.
And win us some games.
Here's my question. I always wonder this. Why do these programs go out and get these coaches? Now, I get Les Miles' case. I mean, he's a proven coach. But a lot of these coaches end up being retreads. Why wouldn't you, as a program, want to go out and get a guy who has more upside? Because you know what you're going to get with Les Miles.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what's going to happen.
Because when you get a program like that, you don't want a guy that's unproven. You don't want a guy. And being a former coach, I know Keenan would tell you, we would love for them to hire new guys and from a coach's standpoint. But from a player standpoint, and as a true fan, and if it's your school, you're thinking, who can I get that's going to be able to bring me in a good program? And I'm telling you, the other person besides Les Miles, is Charlie Strong. Because he has such deep ties to the state of Florida.
Yes,
he can put together a staff, and he can recruit, and he can bring us. And we know, Coach, you know, he always has a good quarterback system. So you know, at the end of the day, we can always keep winning, and we can be able to The road to the national championship is easiest through the ACC.
No doubt. And I think Charlie Strong would be a great candidate for Florida State because of his recruiting ties down in Florida. I mean, he's a big-time Florida recruiter. And
wouldn't have to dig out of the hole he walked into at UT from Mack Brown either.
No doubt. I mean,
no question.
He has talent already there. He's talented on defense, talented on offense. He has a bona fide superstar at quarterback. So, you know, he's just going to have to replace Dalvin Cook. But in Florida, you will find you another Dalvin Cook.
Oh, and not just that, we're going to find us another one with his last name, Dean Cook. Cook has a younger brother that's coming up.
That we hot
on the tail of. And guess what? He's better than Dalvin.
Yes.
All right, so there you go. So we got that covered, which is nice. And then you guys, one of the five Wees for Travis Johnson, pays a visit to Kirby this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah?
Are you guys both going?
I'm going.
Yeah, I'm going just so I can see. I got to go see James. I got to go see Damon.
I got to go see James and Damon myself. So.
You guys all got to go see Phillip. Barry and I are going, okay, we're going to see Kiki Phillip. And Poo Poo and Nene and them, too. We don't know who the hell you're name dropping, but you do have to say hello to Arthur for me.
James Collins. Yeah, I have to say Hightower.
Yeah, my guy.
You know, Dick Lewis will be around somewhere. I got to go say
Big Time. You call him by his real name. Okay. His favorite name is Big Time.
So skip Poo Poo and Nene. And then what are you guys seeing down on Kirby, Chargers, Texans on Sunday?
You know what? This is going to be a tough game for the Texans because, you know, Chargers coming off a bye. You know, Phillip is – they've been in every game. You know, and then it's a short week for the Texans flying in from Mexico City. True. It's going to be a tough week, you know. But I think the way the defense played against the Raiders, they have a real shot of getting some turnovers against the Chargers. But – it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a dogfight down
secondary
to the end.
Secondary can't play like they played against the Raiders and expect to beat Phillip Rivers.
Well, they didn't play bad until they let Amari Cooper turn around and make a big play, you know. And
yeah, that and when the fullback got loose.
Well, they got to stop. I mean,
passes over the top to the running back.
To the running backs. I mean, that's the thing that you know, it happens once in a while. I mean,
it happened twice in one game. Though.
It happens once in a while in a season where a group of running backs beat you. Oh. I mean, I don't think because
they didn't get hurt running the ball.
No doubt. They're not. I mean, Melvin Gordon's not going to hurt you running the ball this week.
Easy
because
now.
I'm just telling you because the Texans defense is playing good football up front.
Okay,
but they don't have the running backs now. If they had Woodhead, I would think that. You know, it'll be a chance for the Chargers to really beat him with the running backs. And right now, the Chargers don't have any receivers.
They have no receivers. And tell you the truth, the defense at times they're real sporadic. You know, they kind of bipolar when it comes down to what defense is going to show up. I mean, it depends. If Phillip has to throw the ball 40 times tomorrow, then 40 times on Sunday, then they lose.
But he's not
if
going to. I mean, look at the Texans' offense. I mean,
he's going to throw the ball 40 times.
No. He won't have to though.
It's the Chargers' way. That's the only way. The ball has to be in Phillip's hand for them to win.
But this Texans' offense.
But tell you the truth, that's part of the reason why they've been losing ever since. You know, I got to go back to ever since 2009. Really 2010. It's been a problem because one, the offensive line has been so sporadic. Yes, they're playing a little bit better. They're giving a little bit more protection. But the fact that we don't have a run game, the fact that you get rid of Darren Sproles at a time when and thinking he's only got a couple years left. He's been in the league for seven more years since then
and been very productive.
being very productive when you get rid of your running back and you send him to Philly, your first round pick of a running back. And he's still doing the things that he's doing.
All right, we're running out of time. I'm going around the horn, starting with Barry. Who wins the game and why?
San Diego, because they're a better team.
Okay. Nick?
I'm going to go with San Diego. I like Phillip Rivers and what he can do with
Hey, Nick, what's up?
What up, man?
Trap, who you got?
I got San Diego, man. You know, it's hard. I mean, it's tough, but I got to go with Diego, man. Just because, you know, man, Sabo's going to be in town, man.
Well, I'm going with the Texans just because they're going to bounce back from a tough win. From a tough loss and on a short week.
I'm going with the Chargers because I said the Texans would lose three in a row. I said they'd lose to the Raiders, the Chargers, and you know who they play next week. So I'm going to go that way as well. And as we wrap things up.
I'm the only one.
And because, yeah, you're the only one. So you're either going to get a lot of bragging rights or you're going to get a lot of gruff come next week. But until then, I wish you guys all the best. I love all you guys. I've appreciated each and every minute and everything that we have been building here from a relationship standpoint, friendship standpoint, more importantly, from a broadcast standpoint. You guys are the best. I wish everybody out there a happy, safe Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And we will talk to you on the flip side. Enjoy your holiday. Please be safe, and we'll talk to you next week. ESPN 97.5.
Christmas music when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.